Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners. In today's podcast, we bring you an experience-sharing article from the 9th China Fahui on Minghui.org entitled "Architect Seizes Time to Clarify the Truth" by Zhu Wei, a practitioner from Liaoning.
Minghui Fahui, "Architect Seizes Time to Clarify the Truth" by Zhu Wei, a practitioner from Liaoning. Greetings, Master. Greetings, fellow practitioners. I am an architect. There are three people in our family. My son is in middle school. Since I need to work in my office 8 hours a day, I maximize my time to clarify the truth about Falun Gong and the persecution when I go to and from my job at the lunch hour and on the weekends. Clarifying the truth to and from work. I ride a few stops on a bus to get to my job. I save people while waiting for the bus or walking on the street. I often meet predestined people that I give Shanyun DVDs to or tell about Falun Gong and the persecution. Once I met a street cleaner on my way to work. I wanted to give him truth clarification materials. Who would have thought that he would run away and jump over the railing separating the sidewalk from the road without looking? He yelled, "I don't like Falun Gong." Master said, quote, "In whatever you do, you should carry it through to the end. Do it well, and if you intend to save someone, then go ahead and save him. When someone is placed before you, there isn't a choice. You're wrong if you become selective in terms of saving people." Unquote. What is a DAFA disciple? Fa teaching given at the 2011 New York Fa Conference. Reading this, I realized that I shouldn't be moved by his attitude. I knew I would see him again, as he always swept the street. Every time I saw him, I sent righteous thoughts to clean out the evil factors keeping him from learning the truth about Falun Gong. At first, he wasn't friendly and just turned his head as soon as he saw me. Later on, I greeted him like an old friend and smiled. I said, "Fancy seeing you here again." This time, he didn't avoid me and acknowledged me with a grunt. Once, I sent righteous thoughts while gazing at his back. Fortunately, he turned around and our eyes met. I smiled and nodded my head. He smiled at me kindly. On a summer day at noon, I saw him relaxing in the cool shade of a tree. I walked over, said hello, and chatted with him a bit. He said he didn't believe in anything and that life was about bearing hardship. He went to the countryside and then returned to the city to work in a factory. He was laid off. Now he swept the street. His pension was postponed for 5 years. I said, "Isn't this the result of actions by the Chinese Communist Party, CCP? I discussed news with him and that the CCP was harvesting organs from living people. He cursed the CCP. I told him that Falun Gong teaches the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, which uphold morality. Divine beings will protect you in the face of natural man-made calamities if you follow this principle and disassociate yourself from the CCP. He said, "I can accept truthfulness and compassion, but I can't wrap my mind around forbearance." I explained my understanding from the perspective of my family life. I took a step back when a conflict arose between my husband's family and me regarding the house. At that time, we needed a place to rent, but now we have our own home. We have a harmonious relationship and home environment. He said, "This forbearance is also good. This belief is good." He asked, "Some older women have also asked me to withdraw from the CCP. You are well educated. Why do you tell me the same thing?" I told him that there isn't a conflict between science and religion. Great scientists believe in God. He said he wasn't a member of and didn't believe in the CCP. He had not been a member of the CCP's youth organizations for a long time and didn't understand the need to withdraw from them. He thanked me for explaining so much. I had to leave for work. I said, "We'll talk next time. Take your time. You'll definitely understand. I deeply pondered what was holding him back. I thought it was his belief in atheism. He didn't understand the significance of pledging his life to the CCP that he made as a youth, nor the need to withdraw that pledge. Soon after, with the wisdom that Dafa bestowed upon me, I successfully passed a specialized technical exam that was quite difficult. My salary was increased hundreds of thousands of yuan every year. My colleagues insisted that we should celebrate with sweets. I went to the supermarket and bought chocolate for everyone. On the way back, I bumped into the street cleaner. He ran over and said hello. I offered him some chocolate. He was very happy for me. I said, "The CCP has deceived you, and you don't dare to believe in anything. Yet you still believe in the atheism promulgated by the CCP. This is very unfortunate for you. Many practitioners have told you the facts about Falun Gong and the persecution because we value life. It doesn't matter if you are rich or poor, eminent or humble. All life is precious. Don't belittle yourself. It doesn't cost anything to remove the vow that you made to the CCP, and it is the best life insurance you can get. You must cherish your life. Even if you don't believe in God, you know that the CCP is harvesting organs from living people. From the perspective of saving yourself or based on your own conscience, you should separate yourself from the CCP. Our fear is that disaster will befall you when heaven destroys the CCP. He told me that his surname was Wang. He had been a member of the Young Pioneers, one of the CCP organizations, and he agreed to withdraw from it. I helped him find an alias. He laughed and was very happy. I was also very happy for him that this precious life had finally been saved. Saving beings on my lunch hour. I try to live according to the principles of Falun Dafa. I am responsible at work. I have mastered specialized knowledge in my field of study. I help others. Our work is busy and seasonal. For instance, in the spring, when a project was assigned, I usually gave the younger colleagues a chance to accumulate experience and let them do what they were capable of. I did what they weren't able to. Finally, I helped them review the whole project. This way, they were able to do the job and earn a bigger bonus. They were very happy. My basic wage is adequate, so if I earn a smaller bonus, it doesn't matter to me. This way, I have more time to save sentient beings. I have a little over an hour at lunchtime. I learned how to use a smartphone to send group MMS messages. With this, I increase the range within I can clarify the truth. At lunch, I go on a bus and send truth clarification messages by alternating using a few telephone cards. I use this method for security reasons, so the text messages can't be traced back to the sender. I'm able to send messages for 15 minutes with four cards, and then I take the battery out of the cell phone, also for security purposes. I then look for a residential building to deliver or to post truth clarification materials and posters. There is not much time left when I'm finished. I take the bus back to my office. I pick up a quick bite to eat at the office. There is little time at the noon break, but I use it fully. I often write truth clarification letters. I will mail a letter when I find a post office while I'm on the bus sending MMS messages. At the next post office that I find, I will mail another letter. It's easy for me to search the internet for contact information, addresses, envelopes, and add postage stamps while I'm at work. I print truth clarification letters and burn CDs with specialized truth clarification information at home in the evening. I write letters to the people I work with, their families, my former schoolmates, my son's teachers, his classmates and their families, and others. Every day I search for new information on the Mingwei website and gather information from the internet. I want my son's teacher to know the truth, but my son said, "I don't know my teacher's name." I said, "As long as you have the desire to know it, Master will arrange an opportunity to let you know." Soon my son came home from school and mysteriously said, "Mama, I have a present for you. Today my teacher wrote on the blackboard the names of the teachers in every class. I copied them carefully." My son is a good math student, and his classmates often call him for help. He provided me with their phone numbers so that their families could be saved. He also gathered the phone numbers of the teachers who teach his supplemental classes, as well as others, so that I could reach those people with predestined relationships and they could understand the truth as soon as possible. Letting go of the attachment to dependency. I let go of my attachment to dependency in the process of sending MMS text messages. I relied on other practitioners to buy me telephone cards. I thought the kind of phone card that she bought was really convenient and easy to use. It cost several thousand yuan. She was in a dangerous situation and could no longer buy it for me. I realigned my thinking. If every practitioner relies on one person, doesn't it create a bottleneck and leave a gap for the CCP to take advantage of and to persecute that person? This truth clarification project needed to continue, so I went a few places to buy cards. I was surprised to find a card that was really easy to use and could send many more messages than the original card. We nicknamed the new card Divine Card. It was unbelievable how many messages it was capable of sending. I measured it many times, and it truly sent that many messages, and they were received as well. This way, I didn't have to wait or rely on others. I let go of the attachment to dependency. I traveled my own path of cultivation. Shaking off the attachment to comfort. Life has become more and more comfortable with the improvement in the environment. The attachment to comfort grew rampantly without my being aware of it. I read a practitioner sharing on Ming Wei. He said that some practitioners' beds were possessed by fruit tea, spirit or animal possession. It manifested in not being able to get up to do the exercises, falling down, and then falling asleep while sending righteous thoughts, and finding it painful to wake up. I became alert to detect a similar state in myself. Sometimes my alarm didn't go off. I immediately sent righteous thoughts to eliminate the evil. At the same time, I realized that it was the attachment to comfort that left a gap for the evil to interfere. I didn't go to bed before midnight, and then it was impossible to fall asleep. The alarm went off with a deafening sound at 3:50 a.m., and I immediately got up. I was worried that I had disturbed my family's sleep, but they said they didn't hear the alarm. It wasn't painful to wake up. I was on time to practice the exercises and letting go of the attachment to comfort. I sent righteous thoughts at the designated times. How can we practice cultivation comfortably? Furthermore, it is difficult to make up the exercises when we miss them. In addition to practicing the exercises, studying the Fa, clarifying the truth, and being diligent at work, practitioners have to take care of their families as well and can't fear any aspect of hardship. For example, before I lacked patience when helping my son with his homework, I thought it was a nuisance and wasted my time. The pressure on students in China is enormous. Many teachers' bonuses are linked to their students' grades, so they give them a lot of homework and assignments. The students regularly stay up until midnight to complete them. I sometimes help my son plan out his literary compositions and English essays, since the pressure is so intense. This way I can be sure that his essays include positive content and can guide the human heart toward goodness. This is beneficial for being able to receive the truth. His teacher and classmates will be touched by his essays when they read them. My son can complete his homework earlier, and this will give him more time to study the Fa and memorize master's poems. Practitioners who work should utilize the time waiting for or riding on the bus or train, walking on the street or waiting for the elevator, to recite the Fa from memory. The results are good and avoid wasting time and having a muddled thought process. Don't disregard these moments. Grasp the time and you can recite a paragraph of Fa. The Fa will automatically be reflected into your consciousness when encountering situations that challenge your Xinxing, and it will be easy to maintain your Xinxing. Furthermore, clarifying the truth and distributing Shanyun DVDs will go smoothly when the Fa has been studied well and we have looked inward. All we need to do is approach people, and they will express their heartfelt gratitude. Don't disappoint sentient beings. I've discovered that more and more people understand the truth and have great respect for Falun Dafa and Dafa disciples when I clarify the truth. One day I met an elderly man on a commuter bus. We stood together and I started to tell him the facts, but he said that others already had. He said he believed in Buddha before and now recites every afternoon the 9 auspicious Chinese characters that mean Falun Dafa is good, truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good. He said, the moral standard of practitioners is very high. The people who offer me a seat on the bus are Falun Gong practitioners. I gave him a Shan Yun DVD. He was very happy and said he would ask his son to play it for him on the computer. I gave copies of the 2012 special edition of the Mingwei Weekly to a gathering of a group of my friends. They all expressed the desire to take it home and read it. One gentleman said that he recognized the touching story of a Dafa disciple. This practitioner lived frugally and devoted his salary to clarifying the truth during the time of the persecution. It is difficult for the people of the world to understand practitioners' kind-heartedness, the suffering they endure, and the diligence with which they save people, but they have witnessed or read about the greatness of Dafa. I will cherish this time and energetically cultivate in this last period of Fa rectification. I won't disappoint sentient beings who have placed infinite hope in Dafa.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.